history is all around us in Hawaii, and but once its records are lost, they're lost forever. Most of us understand on an intuitive level the importance of remaining connected to our history, but few of us have a complete understanding of the way historic preservation works. It's likely that many of our questions will be answered in an upcoming series of community seminars that will touch on the importance of caring for the structures in particular that connect us to our historic past. Kirsten Faulkner is the Executive Director of the Historic Hawaii Foundation. She's with us this morning. Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning, Chris.
I guess one of the things that you have to figure out in your work is the distinction between historic and just old, right?
That's it, exactly. And this series of seminars is going to help community members get their minds and their hands around that very issue. One of the reasons we're offering this seminar, which is in partnership with the State Historic Preservation Division, is to help our community members be able to identify what are the historic and cultural resources in their own communities, in their own backyards, what makes them historic, and what are the proper treatments for how to care for them going into the future.
One of the things that makes our history in Hawaii so distinctive is that in Hawaii, 300 years is ancient, right?
That's right. And between the climate, the termites, the ocean breezes, the earthquakes, you know, there's a lot of pressure on historic structures and places. So really what we have left is very precious to us. And being able to be good stewards and caretakers of those places becomes everybody's responsibility.
What's an example of a structure that might have been overlooked that would have historic value?
You know, that's a great question. The rule of thumb is to look at those that are 50 years or older. And not everything 50 years or older is historic, and not everything younger than 50 years is not, but, you know, kind of looking at that rule of thumb. So one of the things we've been looking at more recently is the built history of the mid-20th century. So looking at post-World War II, for example. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, that's within living memory. And
sure.
So it's kind of important to say, well, when do we have the benefit of enough time to look back to understand it, because it's not so fresh, but not so much that we've wiped out what has been important and significant from that period. And then, of course, older than that as well. So looking to the territorial period, to the monarchy period, to the missionary period, to the pre-contact period.
Sure.
You know, the fullness of Hawaii's history is what's so rich and exciting about our neighborhoods and our communities.
Well, and just thinking of that post-Second World War era was a huge social change in America, the creation of today's middle class, really.
Right. And I think when you go down really any urban area in particular, you can see this layering of history. So from the post-World War II period, where there was such significant economic and social and cultural shifts going on, and that's reflected in the buildings, it's reflected in the landscapes, it's showcasing new ideas about engineering and technology and construction and materials, and what does that say about the people who built those places and why? And of course, that's true of every era. It's not just that particular one. It's just there was so much change so quickly right after the war.
You can also see the economics of a period reflected in the way the buildings were. You know, post-war America had lots of sort of what they used to call Levitt towns, right? Lots of houses just like one another, urban, kind of spreading out into the areas outside of the city.
That's actually one of the areas we'll be looking at as far as determining the difference between historic and old.
Yeah.
What are the major trends and development patterns, and what was being built and where and why? So it's not just the individual structures or the mansion on the hill kind of model, but also what are the neighborhoods and districts that provide context? And part of that is understanding where were people and why. So looking at housing and transportation and economics and kind of those cultural shifts as well. It becomes very fascinating.
When did the city start to grow out from the urban core, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Right? And, you know, when you think of the territorial era structures, you have this sort of gone with the wind look, right? The house on the hill with the porticos and the pillars and very much a reflection of that kind of economic structure, yeah?
One of the fascinating things about the architectural history of Hawaii is the melding and the blending of different influences. So, of course, we talk a lot about how East and West meet in Hawaii, but in addition to those, there's also this homegrown aesthetic, looking at trade winds, looking at orientation to the sun, looking at ways to accommodate the, especially the carpentry history and the woodworking history from the Japanese influences, and then melding that with more of the American and Western design aesthetic. And that all comes together in this homegrown tropical regionalism that is so much a part of what we experience every day.
Well, sometimes when you look at history, I don't know if you probably run across this, Kirsten, the idea that you run across great ideas that have somehow been abandoned for no particular reason. You know, the whole idea of orienting buildings toward the trade winds, using prevailing winds and light, as opposed to just building a box and air conditioning the inside within an inch of your life, you know?
It's really fascinating to me to hear the current discussions about sustainable building design and ways to get, you know, different points for different kinds of sustainability. And yet, if you look back 70, 80 years, that's how it was always built.
Yeah.
And much more sustainable. And really maintaining, caring for, perpetuating those places is much more sustainable than anything you could build today if you're tearing that down, hauling away those materials to the landfill and starting over, no matter how many points you get for bike racks.
Well, you got a good point there. And you, the real point really is what we can still learn from the past, that it's not something that just gets preserved in amber and put on a wall, but this remains a very kind of active source of lessons, yeah?
These seminars will also talk about that continuum of what preservation means. I think a lot of people have this stereotype that preservation means a house museum, putting everything under glass, you know, putting booties on your feet. And while that's true for places like Iolani Palace,
sure,
which are so significant and so important that they deserve that extra level of care.
Yeah.
But there's a continuum of what historic preservation means that includes being meaningful, useful, contemporary for people today. And there are ways to make to continue use of those properties in a way that is respectful but meaningful. And we always need them to be relevant, of course.
Well, we'll look ahead to these seminars, Kirsten. Thanks very much for talking with us this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
Kirsten Faulkner is the Executive Director of the Historic Hawaii Foundation, which will be holding seminars on historic preservation basics on four islands starting March 15th, and details are at hpr2.org.